of fear, those elements of the darkness will not touch our lives and will not have that influence in our life that the enemy wishes that he could have in our life. But he's not going to get his way. I'm going to read again tonight. We're talking about scriptures that have to do with God being for us, particularly let God arise and his enemies be scattered. For the sake of this brand new portion of this series, I'm going to read again, not to be redundant or repetitive, but just to have this foundation for this series of teaching. One of the most important that I've ever done to the fewest people that I've ever ministered to down through the years, I believe. And yet, it goes out of here, and that's where it begins to touch other people. This is a center for the Word of God to go out. The anointing that comes here is going to come to us first, and then it's going to go from this place to other people because God has deemed that this ministry has that kind of worth. We didn't drum up some kind of outreach. We didn't pursue that. We put our energies into this. God is the one that said, I'm going to allow the Word to get out through the media. And he did it in a way that only God could do. Amen. He uses people, and we're grateful to the people that God uses. We're very grateful to those people who sponsor, in particular, who sponsors these broadcasts. I believe they're going to get a portion of two things. They're going to get a portion of the persecution. And I hate to tell people that because we need their sponsorship. Amen. But they're also going to get a portion of the blessing. Can you say amen? They're part of the outreach of this ministry. Anyone who helps the ministry go out like that is part of this. And so I'm praying for God's special blessings, and I'm praying for grace when the persecutions come, because down through the years I've learned that with great doors comes great challenges and tests in terms of persecutions. The Bible said, the Apostle Paul said, a great and effectual door is open to me at Ephesus. I'm going to stay here until Pentecost because a great and effectual door has been opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So one of the ways that I detect that God is really in something is how hard the devil fights it. Amen. Can you say amen? According to that scripture, if you've got a great door of opportunity, there's going to be a whole lot of adversity. And if we can't overcome the adversity, we can never walk through the door of opportunity. So God wants to give us grace. He actually said he was going to give us grace on grace. The scripture puts it in a sense that he giveth more grace. But he said he would literally multiply grace. Grace and peace be what Paul said, added to you? No. Amen. Because we need more than that. We need grace to be multiplied to us and peace to be multiplied to us. Amen. So I'm just going to read Psalm 68 again, verse 1, and it says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Verse 2 says, as smoke is driven away, as wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. Amen. The words of this great psalm ring out a great biblical truth, and that is that when people are in the right position before the Lord, and his enemies become our enemies. How many know evil is an enemy of God? Amen. Amen. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is expressed this way. The real reverential fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. Amen. If you want to go on beyond that, our loyalty, our true, authentic reverence for the Lord is to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. And I don't mean to hate sinners. I mean to hate sin. Everybody say, love sinners. Hate sin. And did you know people that are locked in sin's dread sway hate to hear that term? They don't like the idea of God loving the sinner but hating the sin. There's all kinds of categories of sin that the Christian church, the true Christian church, has taken a stand against while wanting to embrace the people and say, God loves you, God wants to forgive you, God wants to change you. God wants to come into your life and make radical changes in your life and forgive you of all of your sin while never acknowledging that that sin is okay. Amen. And a lot of people want the sin to be okay. They want God to embrace them with their sin. And God just doesn't do that. Amen. He calls us to repentance. Amen. He calls us to repentance so that grace can flow to us. Grace doesn't flow without repentance. Nowhere in Scripture are people given a clean slate without repenting of their sin and accepting Christ as their Savior. Amen. See, the blood doesn't cover anything unless it's applied. Passover is a type of that, and the blood had to be applied to the doorpost. Did you know that someone, just because this blood was made available doesn't mean it will do anything unless it's personally applied? The angel was looking for those who had personally applied what God had offered to keep them safe. And the same thing is true today. Amen. It has to be applied. There are a lot of people that just want grace to cover it without ever coming to repentance to apply the blood. Amen. We say we don't have any sin, we're liars, and we don't do the truth. But if we apply the blood covenant, amen, through repentance, amen, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just because we're applying the blood now. Amen. To forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all iniquity. The blood of Jesus doesn't just gloss it over, cover it up. I've heard this statement, God can't see through the blood. Sure He can. God knows what you really are. The blood doesn't blind Him to man's sin. Amen. But it reminds Him that if we repent, amen, those sins have been judged in Jesus Christ, and He can be just when He forgives us. But the idea that we can use the blood as a covering for our sin is wrong.
Amen. Yes, it is.
There's nothing that will give Satan an inroad into someone's life like he wants to have as to tell them that God can't see through the blood. So in other words, I can do anything I want and God's not even concerned about it in the least. He can't even see what I'm doing. He's totally aloof in His heaven and doesn't care that I'm an adulterer or a fornicator or some of these other sins that come up to heaven. Listen, the Bible said, let no man deceive you by any means, neither the fornicator. That doesn't mean someone who falls and repents. It means someone who lives habitually in and does not repent. Amen. Fornicator means someone who, this is their lifestyle. This is their pattern of life. Neither the idolater. Amen. And idolatry is not just the people bowing to a pot-bellied Buddha in India or Pakistan, but people in America that are covetous. Can you say, man? The Scripture said idolatry is what you give your heart to. It's not just what the God you make out of stone, but the God that you can make out of money, of fame, fortune, anything else that is before the Lord God in your life. We can become idolaters, and don't let a man tell you that you can bow to other gods and go to heaven. Don't let anybody tell you that you can do that. Don't let a man deceive you. Can you say amen? Neither the fornicator, nor the adulterer, nor the idolater, amen, nor the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind. There are whole churches that have decided it's okay and rewriting the book to accommodate sins that God said, don't let any man tell you different. You're not going to answer to that denominational enclave, amen, that decided to change the truth. We're going to answer to the living God. Can you say amen? Amen. Man can't absolve you of your sin. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sin. God through Christ. That's the only way. We have a ministry of reconciliation because we can urge people to come to the Lord for salvation. But only God can forgive. Don't let any man deceive you. Amen. Then you move over to 1 John and it says, he that committeth sin, again, is that idea of not sinning or having a... We're not above sinning. That's why repentance is so important to the body of Christ. But listen to this. Amen. He that committeth sin, and say it with me, live habitually in, without repenting. Amen. He that committeth, this is an ongoing pattern of life. It's not a stumbling block from which someone gets up. It's an ongoing pattern. He that committeth sin, listen to this, is of the devil. When people live that lifestyle, Christ said, you're of your father the devil, and his works you will do. And when we come to Christ, He said, now, you're not following that anymore. You're following God now. You're following godliness. Amen. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Amen. And walk in love even as Christ walked. Love for the Father, love for one another, love for a lost and dying world. Amen. I love the world enough in terms of not loving the things of the world, but loving the people that are lost tonight to tell them the truth about their lost condition. Somebody needs to tell them the truth about their lost condition. They don't want to hear the truth about their lost condition. If you were diagnosed tonight as having a terminal disease, you're going to go through a process. Everyone goes through a process. and just about everyone goes through the same process. And they've got it down to several things that's going to happen. You know what the first thing that happens in that process is denial. It can't be happening to me. It's surrealistic. You know, we know that we're not going to live forever, but we like to not deal with that issue to any large degree. We don't want to be morbid people. I told you this morning, we were not designed to die. Even though we know heaven is our home, I don't believe anybody's ready to get struck by lightning. I think it would be wise if it's hitting those trees out there for you not to go traipsing around playing ball or something in the yard. Amen. I think that'd be a very wise thing. Amen. You say, well, but we are not designed. Death is not God's plan. We're people of eternity. We were created for eternity. In fact, we're all going to live somewhere forever.
That's right.
The lost and the saved will live somewhere forever. There's nothing finite about us. We are infinite in the sense of life. Life is going to continue on some level somewhere. There's a resurrection of the just. There's a resurrection of the unjust. Amen. There's a life with God in the bliss of what He has provided, called the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. To experience Him and all that He's provided for His children. But there's the awful plight of the wicked, the awful destination of the lost. And everyone that doesn't believe on Christ, the Bible said the wrath of God literally dwells upon them. Now that's hard stuff for this generation because it's not being preached except in private little corners like we are tonight. You'd be hard-pressed to hear many television preachers that will preach this. There's a few exceptions, but they are a very, very few. You'd be hard-pressed to find a megachurch where that message is still preached because seeker-friendly churches just don't want to rock the boat. They want to soothe and gloss over truth that should be brought forth, not to hurt people, and certainly not to drive anybody away, but to level with people. Be forthright. Jesus never minced words to get followers. He said, I'm the way, and I'm more than that. I'm the truth. Can you say amen? And my words are truth. Amen? They said, what is truth? He said, I am the truth. Isn't that incredible? Amen. There's no guile. There's no deception. Nothing is glossed over. He will tell it just exactly like it is. And it's not because He loves us. If He wanted to damn us, all He had to do is not come to this world and not go to that cross. He didn't come to condemn the world, but He did come to confront it. Can you say amen? Amen. He confronted this world with a gospel and gave mankind an opportunity to do something that is so simple, and that is bow our hearts and say, God and His kingdom and heaven, amen, and missing hell is more important than some flaky sin. I repent of that sin that has offended my God, and I put my trust in Him, and I can't change myself, but God can change me, and I want the change. Hallelujah. See, God can change anybody. He makes silk purses out of sow's ears all the time. Can you say amen? Amen. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. God does that. But there's a lot of people who don't want to change because they love their sin more than they care for their soul. So we're living in that kind of generation and that kind of Christian culture. And that's a shame. We know the world is like that because they're blind. The God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of men. They can't see. In the Christian culture, there are people that could see, but don't want to see. They close their eyes to truth. And they close their ears too. That's why Jesus said, he that hath an ear. What's that mean? Don't we all have ears? Amen? No, he's talking about the ability to spiritually discern, the ability to spiritually deceive, and more importantly, a desire to be right with God. Amen. He that hath an ear, he that will give heed, he that will listen, let him hear. What who says? The preacher on Sunday that we can take or leave? No, what the Spirit, God moved on. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and when he sat down to write, the Spirit sent a message. He sent it through a man, but it wasn't the man's message. It was God's message. Amen. It was breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself. Amen. So he that hath an ear to every church of the seven of Asia, same thing. That statement is made. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. If you'll listen, I'll counsel you. Can you say amen? If you will just give heed, if you will have a heart for truth, if you will let me change what is wrong and make it right. That's a good God. The worst of the churches, really there is no worse. Sin breaks fellowship with God. But one of the worst conditions is Laodicea. I think without any doubt, when Jesus says, I will spew you out of my mouth, amen, I will literally vomit you up. It's a strong in the Greek. It means to drink something that makes you sick at your stomach until you gag on it and spit it back. The lukewarm water. The Laodicea was a city of great wealth and great riches. Laodicea, however, had a problem with their water supply. They had to pipe it in from a great distance. It was cool when it started down those pipes, those viaducts that they used, amen, to bring it into the city. By the time it got to the city, it wasn't just tap water. It was actually because of the sun on those pipes, amen, it was somewhere between kind of like a warm water like you'd take a bath in. If you can imagine on a hot day taking a sip of water that was that temperature, amen, you'd understand. So when he told them, amen, I'll spew you out of my mouth, I would that you were hot. Or what? Or cold. Amen. There's more possibility of revival in an atheistic country tonight that have never heard the true gospel. Amen. Who know they're sinners. Who, when confronted by the claims of Christ, know that they're sinners. Can you say amen? They are cold and they are lost. They know they're lost when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and convicts them. They know that they don't know God. Amen. There's not this lukewarmness if I've got just enough religion to keep me from really responding, amen, to the call of God. Amen. To salvation or the call to follow Him. And there's so many people that like one of my grandchildren that was christened, my granddaughter, Savannah, was christened. Amen. And people came for her christening, family, that have no regard for God. I'm not letting a cat out of the bag. There's just no regard for God. But she was sprinkled. And all her life, that's going to be something they're going to look back to a certificate and say, she was sprinkled with water when she was a baby. Did you know you can dedicate your child to the Lord as you dedicate yourself to the Lord, but the idea of someone doing that for you while you live your own life and don't give God the time of day is ludicrous, unbiblical. It's something man made up for sentimentality. It has no spiritual value at all. Baptism means nothing unless you've been born from above. Amen? Amen? It's symbolic of something spiritual that's taken place in you, that you are buried with Christ, and then what happens? That means the old things have passed away and all things have become new, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Can you say amen? Something spiritual and something mighty and something life-changing. Some people think they got saved because they prayed off conviction. They prayed just enough to convince themselves they don't need to really get real or right with God. But when push comes to shove, they always choose the world over Him. That is an unregenerate heart. Absolutely an unregenerate heart. Amen. Amen. If I can't conceive, amen, of choosing the world over Jesus Christ tonight. It is I'm not bragging. I'm telling you it is inconceivable that I would choose this world over Him, because I know what the kingdom is. I know what is at stake here. I know the world is passing away. And I know that he that does the will of God will abide forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know that. I can't unknow what I know. And I can't unknow who I know. Whom have I in heaven but you, David said. Whom have I on earth but you? And whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly out to the uttermost part of the sea, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, even there, your hand shall uphold me. Woo! You'd be like unscrambling an egg. Is sexual desire more powerful than the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a believer? Is the devil always going to be able to use sex to pull us away from God? If what we got from God had value. Kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. Some people have never discovered the pearl of great price. How do you know? Because they don't value the kingdom, and that's what this parable is about. Can you say amen? But it is like a pearl of great price, literally a priceless gemstone. Say it with me, a priceless gemstone. There's a diamond called the Hope Diamond, and there's no monetary value on it because of the uniqueness of it. There may be some that supersede it now, I don't know, but used to the Hope Diamond was the biggest diamond in the world. And not only was it big, it was beautiful. There are big diamonds, but they don't cut right, and they don't have all those facets. And that's why you can get a discount diamond that's 1 carat in a ring, amen, somewhere for $299 maybe, or $500. But you'll go to another place, and you want to ask them, well, how come I can get it down here, you know, at Dudley Do-Right's diamond store, amen, for $500, and here's somebody else got a 1 carat diamond, amen, solitary, and they're asking $2,500 for it, amen. And you won't know the difference till you put it under a microscope, and you begin to understand, or macro, and you begin to understand that it's the way that it's cut. One of them is rough cut and doesn't have all the facets that the other one does. The other one is precision cut. It cut right. It's beautiful. Can you say amen? And the quality, not just the carat, amen, has to do with a diamond. Can you say amen? People think the kingdom is some little old something that's not really worth sacrificing anything for or giving up anything for. If you can't get something pulled out of it, it has no value when it comes to giving up something for. That's why people won't give up anything when they come into a conflict between choosing the kingdom and choosing their own way. They choose their own way over and over again. But I'm going to declare unto you, we were not purchased with corruptible things of silver or gold, but that I hold precious, but with the precious. Say it with me, the precious. The precious, the precious, the precious, the precious. No wonder that early church endured such persecution and kept the faith, because they held the blood of Jesus as the highest, most precious thing in their life. Amen. People who don't hold the blood as precious will sell it out. And the Bible says of how much sore punishment if they perished under Moses' law that sinned. Amen? You sin, you perish under Moses' law. And if they perished under Moses' law, the book of Hebrews said, if they perished under Moses' law, of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye that they shall be worthy who have trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is not a revolving door situation. You can come to Christ, choose the world over Him, come to Christ, go back to the world. After a while, people just, you know, get into that revolving door situation. Used to be a country music song that said, me and Jesus got our own thing going. And the song, the words and the lyrics is a story about a man that goes out and parties on Saturday night, but Sunday morning he's done all these sins, but don't judge me, because me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. No, you don't, old hoss. God has prescribed the criteria for His judgment. He is the one that has decided what proves authentic faith. Can you say amen? This don't judge me thing has went too far. It's got to the point we can't even confront anyone. We can't even question. Amen. So people are following without question. Oh, you're a Christian? Fine, great. Join the crowd. We're all Christian, aren't we? Can you say amen? It's become a generic term. It doesn't have the value it once had. Because Christian doesn't mean you've been washed in the blood and saved. Christian doesn't mean you've been washed in the blood and saved. Christian does not mean you've been washed in... Yeah, anybody can claim that experience. Amen. Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ. Christian means that something has changed in character and we're becoming more like Jesus. There's something like Christ in us. And it's absolutely discernible enough that the world would call us Christians. When we can claim to be a Christian and have no desire to be like Christ or to follow Christ or to listen to anything he has to say. Then we're falling into the category John says, we're lying to ourselves, we're lying to those we're telling, and more importantly, we're lying to God who knows our heart. Faith without works is dead. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about go out and like the guy next used to live next door, and he used to listen to all these teachers, hyper-faith teachers, and he went out and decided he wanted to get an automobile. You heard me tell the story. He actually did this. Amen. He went down and picked out the car he wanted. He'd done sent a bunch of money to the ministry, so he'd sowed his seed, so now it's time to go out and get his harvest by faith. He had the right confession, amen, because he confessed that I'm going to get me a car today. Didn't have a dime in his pocket, sent it all to the preacher, but he's going to go claim his car now. Can you say, man? So he went to the car lot, picked the car out. He said, I want that one. The guy said, are you sure? This is so much and the payments are so much. And oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Doesn't matter about none of that. That's it. That's it. Positive confession. Can you say amen? Positive thinking, positive confession. Amen. So the guy, you know, took him in the office, started drawing up the papers. And he said, that'll be, or how are you going to pay for this? He said, oh, I'm not. God is going to give it to me. God, no, God has given it to me. You know, call things not as though they were. You know, God can do that. But it didn't work down at Ed Morse Cadillac or Furman Oldsmobile or wherever he was. God said, if God is going to give it to you, God's going to have to sign right here. And if he'll sign right here and give me the money, you can have it. But I can't give it to you because you said God has given it to you. And it brought a reproach. Hello? Hello? We live in an incredible day. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 and 12 said, many false prophets shall go out into the land, and they shall deceive many. And in this deception is an allowance for sinfulness among the body of Christ. Amen? Go ahead. See, everything is taken care of by your offering, not by your repentance anymore. Your seed takes care of your job, your healing, your family, your marriage, and your children saved. Hello? Anything you need, you write the check for it. The altar is never mentioned. Keeping your heart's never mentioned. It's an amazing thing to make a blanket offer out there that if you send in a check, regardless if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's not an issue with them. Just send in the money. The money is going to get God to do things for you. Not getting your heart right with Him. That's a non-issue to these people. How do you know it's a non-issue? Because they never mention it. Never, never, never. Amen? I mention it and they stay away in droves. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. The blessing promised on America has not come. We're in a dangerous situation economically in America. I have hope because I believe God's doing the shaking. I don't believe it's the devil. I believe it's God Almighty. Can you say, I don't believe we need to bind the devil. I believe we need to bow to God. You know why? Amen. You know why? You know why? You know why? Because when we submit to God and resist the devil, what does he have to do? He has one option. Say it with me. What does he have to do? What does he have to do? Why does he flee from us? Because of the authority of the believer? No! He flees from us because we bow to our God and our God has taken up the fight. Oh, somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have no authority to take authority over the devil until you bow on your face to your God. Amen. So bowing becomes before believing. Before faith is mentioned in the pattern prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. You bow lower and lower. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You concede to His will. You defer to His will before you ask Him for anything. Today, faith carries it with no humbling, no bowing. Faith carries the whole load. Incredible. I saw a man, and I used the illustration one time. I thought it was a swell illustration. And he called him one person out of the audience. See, there's a fruit of the Spirit called faith. And we think faith is going to carry everything. And he called a person about his same size. And he said, now, try to push me push me out of the way. I'm going to play the role. I'll be I'll play the role of the enemy, the evil one. You come against me. So faith comes up and shoves on him, and he stands his ground. Nothing's moving him. He said, now. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is not just faith. He said, it's love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, patience. He went through the whole nine fruit of the Spirit, and he got nine other men to come up. Amen? Eight other alongside of faith. And when they come up and join with faith, then you have what God wants to develop in us, which is nothing less than the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And when nine men begin to push that one who took the role of the evil one, he could not withstand all of them unified together. But when one tried to stand alone, then it came to a stalemate. And I really believe that we need to get off of faith long enough, not lose it, but get off of it long enough to teach righteousness and holiness and goodness and mercy and all of these matters of the heart and forgiveness and repentance. Can you say amen? So that God can stand up. The authority of the believer, just because you're a believer don't mean you can go out and do a lot of commanding unless you bow to your God first. Israel could not have victories unless God fought for them. They couldn't claim anything by faith when they were wrong with Him. Only when they were right with Him. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? Let God arise. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian and you want victory and you want to overcome the tempter, let God arise and submit yourself unto Him so that He takes up the fight and you won't have to overcome the enemy. He'll stand up and rebuke him in your behalf. And he'll flee because he don't have no options. Wow. God is so good tonight. Glory to God. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. The word arise in the Hebrew once again means to rise up, to stand up, to arise in a hostile sense. Hello? To arise in a hostile sense. God defends Israel in a hostile sense. He told them, I've given men for you. You know what that means? Those that came against you, I destroyed because of my covenant and my love for you. I've given men for you. He wanted them to appreciate the fact that God had taken up the fight, that their security was all in Him. Amen? He wanted him to know, stay right with me so that I can stand up for you. Don't walk away from me and serve other gods and compromise your faith. Because if you do, I cannot stand up for you. I can't legitimately stand up for you if you don't bow to me. How many blessings are taken for granted? I think one of the great sins in America is the sin of ingratitude. Amen. I think we've been born into something that God has established and men and women have died to hand us here in America. Amen. And we don't have an appreciation for it. One of the signs of the last days, the perilous time, one of the things that make it such an outrageous time, men would be truce breakers, they would be incontinent, they would be without any kind of moral restraint, particularly sexual restraint, they would be incontinent. You know what they teach? You know what they teach now? All of the sex doctors out there, and it's usually a woman, you know, that really looks like she's been there, done that, you know, so she can teach that. And you know what they're teaching? They're teaching it is impossible to ask your teenager to not engage in sexual relations. So just create an atmosphere where it can be controlled. The schools have taken the same posture, and that's why they're giving out birth control without parental consent, regardless of your religious beliefs or your moral views. There are people that don't, not Christian and following any kind of biblical ethic, that have personal moral standards that they stand for in their home. Amen. Amen. There was a time that people didn't shoplift because of a moral code, and it wasn't necessarily because they were Christians, just because they said there's things we do and there's things we don't do. Amen. But the teaching that's out there in the colleges and the teachers is out there in the schools, and I'm talking about 12-year-olds, is you're going to do it. We know that it's human nature. It's going to happen. You don't have a moral restraint of any kind. And we certainly aren't going to try to restrain you. And we're not even going to let your parents have rules for you. Society says, go for it. Just be safe. And the only reason for being safe is sexually transmitted disease is not the moral decay that sin brings. Sin is a non-issue in this culture. And I wish I could say it was just the world. It's not. There are many churches that sin is a non-issue. They might not admit it, but listen to what they teach. They always evade the issue of sin and repentance. And Christ and the cross. And you're hard-pressed to hear about the blood of Jesus very much because that's considered, well, we know all that. Let's go on to the deeper things. Honey, there's nothing deeper. Nothing deeper, nothing better, nothing more paramount than the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, that's what keeps me close to Him, is always rehearsing. That's why I love Holy Communion, because through the blood of His cross, I'm remembering what He did for me. And it keeps my heart soft and in love. The world is governed by lust. They don't know a lot about love. So the Bible said people would be unholy, truce breakers, incontinent, and unthankful. Isn't that incredible? Ingratitude allows the enemy to make the inroads. There are people that grow up with no reverence or respect for their parents who sacrificed to bless them because of ingratitude. God has blessed America. How many people show up on Sunday morning to bless the Lord? I don't mean to get stuff from Him. I'm talking about just to bless His name. That want to get in a church where you worship Him because of who He is and what He's already done. Can you say, man? Wow. Let God arise and His enemies will be scattered. The story over the victory of Jericho is a beautiful example of God arising and leading Israel in the pulling down of a great walled city. And it's all because God arose. Let me just read Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 tonight, because I don't want to go back too much of that ground. For as much as the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. I made a statement this morning. And again tonight, we don't have to keep giving in to the devil. Amen? Don't let sin reign in your body means it's a choice. Christ has already done something to assure us victory. If we choose the right path, Satan is out of business. Can you say, man, if we choose the wrong path, God can't help us. Because we've walked away from His commands. We've walked away from His teaching. We've walked out of the shepherd's pasture. Amen. And the wolf begins to gnaw on us. And the bears come after us. And the lions come after us. And sheep without a shepherd, amen, cannot be protected. But as long as I stay in His pasture, in the perimeters where He has brought me to, praise God, I'm safe because God rises up. That's what David did. He was a type, amen, of that kind of keeping power, amen. And when a lion roared against the sheep, he roared against the lion, didn't he? This young shepherd boy killed the lion, praise God. And when the bear rose up through the anointing, came on David, the anointing to do what? Protect the sheep. And he slayed the bear. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let God arise, and what happens? His enemies are scattered. You can't just say the little shepherd saw him with sentimentality. Amen. You've got to be a follower of Jesus to claim Him as your shepherd. Amen. But if you are a follower and He is your shepherd, His rod and His staff, they comfort you. I used to get the rod and the staff wrong because the staff really was a long crook. You've seen the shepherd's hook. How many have seen the shepherd's hook? It's this long stick with a crook end to it. A lot of time a sheep would fall into a place and he would reach down with that hook and grab it and help it out. Sometimes the sheep would get close to danger. He'd do the same thing, grab it and yank it back. Amen? The shepherd's hook was mainly in caring, the watch care for the sheep. And his staff comforts me tonight. I've had a lot of situations where God has yanked me back. And I've never failed to thank Him for not letting me have my way when it wasn't His way and keeping me from danger. You want Him to keep you? Have you ever been in a church service where God yanked you back? You were planning vengeance and the Lord said, vengeance is mine, and He yanked you back. Amen? I hope He was able to yank you back. Because if He's your shepherd, that's a comforting thing to know. If it's in my heart, God's going to show my preacher. Sure as the sun comes up, God's going to change His message. And you may think I'm directing it to you, but I don't know what's going on in there. Unless you tell me, can you say amen? But God knows what's going on in here, and that's a comfort to me. I used to go to, when I first got saved, I loved it when God changed my pastor's message. Because when God changed His message, I know He's going to get somebody. Sometimes it was me. Can you say amen? But that was okay because I wanted to get God. If it hit me, I wanted it to. I really didn't want to fall back into sin. I really did not want to backslide. I really didn't want to get wrong with God. I really didn't want to give place to the devil. I was serious about following Jesus Christ. Serious enough to hit the altar if I felt I needed to, and sometimes hit it just in case. You don't hear me tonight. There was times I was in an altar I probably didn't need to be, but I got in every line there was, whether it was a healing line or a deliverance line, I got in it. And when I got up there, the Lord didn't tell them what I needed because I really didn't probably need what they were praying for. And He said, what do you want God to do? I said, I want to get closer to Jesus. Closer to Jesus then was to get hands laid on you and fall out. I felt something. I wanted Him so bad. I wanted to touch Him. I wanted Him to touch me in every single service. The majority of the Christian life is not about falling out. It's following on and following through. I say it with me, following on and following through. Those special blessings and special anointings come, but the bulk of our Christian walk is following on and following through. Can you say amen? Keeping the faith, keeping on, keeping on. You know what I appreciate about you guys tonight? You're keeping on, keeping honors. Hallelujah. You keep on, keeping on. And that encourages me because I know there's something God has built into you. Praise God. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus could be your anthem tonight. And you'd still serve Him. And you mean it. Hallelujah. But there are a lot of people, if I can't have some of this world, or a lot of this world, I'm not about to follow Jesus. They got in it from the onset for the wrong reasons. A man came to Jesus and asked the most important question that could ever be asked. Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? What do I need to escape hell and have heaven as my home? How many believe that's an important question? Everybody in here is going to make a choice. Everybody in here. You know, you're not at a crossroads tonight. We can create a situation where you can stop where you are, amen, and come to a crisis point and a crossroad. But you're not on a crossroad tonight. You're on a road tonight. Everybody in here is on a road tonight. You're on the broad way that leads to destruction. You're on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. But I'm telling you something. If you are on that way that leads to life eternal, you are not in the majority tonight. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And listen to this. Jesus said this. This is not somebody out here doing a survey. This is what Jesus said, who knows the hearts of men and women, knows who's truly sealed to the Spirit and who's playing church. Few. 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 Say that with me, few. Yeah. So if you think that you can just have be broad-minded and end up in heaven, you better get a narrow-minded mindset. There's another highway that leads to hell. AC/DC wrote a song, I'm on a highway to hell. Yeah. That's where I'm headed. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm on that broad way and I'm partying all the way. The way to life is narrow. Why did God do that? To make it hard? No, to let you know where you stand, because heaven is too important to miss. Amen? He wanted you to be confronted. He wanted me to be confronted. He wanted us to check where we're traveling. If you get out on an 8-lane highway, you don't have to watch as close as if you're in two little wagon ruts, and if you go to one side or the other, there's a ditch. You got to hold it between the lines. Everybody say, hold it between the lines. You can't have both. You can't have all of the applause of the world and all of the sensual pleasures of the world and have heaven just back you up and somehow God's just going to scoop you up anyway. You got to choose. I'm glad I was confronted by a ministry that constantly, amen, brought me to a place of decision. And every time I chose Christ, I felt my spiritual muscles growing. Shoot up. It was like pumping Holy Ghost iron. Glory to God. Every time I chose Jesus over sin, one time I felt a pull. It was a weakness in me. You say, Brother Bimble, what was it? Amen. It's none of your beeswax. That's between me and God. But I can tell you this, it was a strong pull after I became a Christian. It was a very strong pull. And one day I was driving down the road and I felt that pull, amen, of sin, a particular sin, amen, and I felt the pull to it. And I thought, oh God, I don't want that. I don't want that. But the pull was still there and I cried out to God. I couldn't tell Him that I didn't really want it because there would be no temptation unless I did. But I could tell Him, amen, that I wanted to choose Him over it. And I needed strength to conquer it. And I cried out. I'll never forget where I was. I was right in front of the Strawberry Drive-In in Plant City going down the road. And I cried out to God as a new Christian. And I said, Lord, I don't want sin. I want You. And the moment I said that, it's like the tempter took a punch to the solar plexus. It knocked the wind out of the devil. Hallelujah. I made a choice and God backed me up. I said, I made a choice and God backed me up. You didn't hear me tonight. I made a choice and God backed me up. When God arises, His enemies are scattered. God is not going to stand up for you if you're compromised. But if you make a commitment, a real commitment, God will defend you. God will strengthen you. All of heaven's resources become yours. And if you can't overcome Satan with all of heaven's resources, you don't know what heaven's resources are all about. Greater is He. Say it with me. Greater is He. That is where? Then who? Glory to God. Let God arise. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and He'll flee from you. So everybody tonight here, there's a lot of people that will not confront Christians that have been in church for a long time or so-called Christians because they assume everybody's in the way. You can't assume anything. It's too important to assume anything. There are people that are going to die in the next few years because their life and their health and the potential for accidents in the next few years. In fact, everybody in here, amen, 100 years from now is not going to be here. Amen. But you don't have to wait till you're 80. You ought to pick up the old bits sometime. There are 20-year-olds in there, 16-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds. You think everybody's got to be 80, 90, 100? Walk through a cemetery sometime. Not at Halloween if you get spooked. Fact is, I used to live across on Lime Street. I used to live across from a cemetery. Big cemetery. Huge cemetery. Across the street. My street was here. My house was here. Across the street was a whole big old cemetery. Brother Bimble, aren't you scared living near a cemetery? Woo, woo, woo. No, honey. Best neighbors I ever had. Best neighbors. I'm serious. Best neighbors I ever had. I'm telling you, them dead people ain't hurting nobody. You understand me? I'm serious. Nobody kept me up at night with the big subwoofers. Can you say, Matt? No, nobody kept me up with subwoofers. I didn't have to worry about the subwoofer keeping me up. Amen. I didn't have to worry about nobody over there coming over and stealing anything off my carport. Amen. Honey, them dead people don't bother nothing on your carport. I'm telling you right now. Well, what about spooks? Amen, honey. Honey, what's spooky to me is what I say. Well, I better not go there. I've seen, amen. What I've been a pastor for all these years. I've seen some spooky stuff. It all took place at church. Most of the encounters with the devil I've had took place at church during a service. Can't scare me with dead people, no cemetery. Can you say amen? Gravestones and all that kind of stuff. Them people ain't going to give nobody no problem. Amen. You have trouble with the living in this world. That's the people you got to watch. Amen. But I made some decisions in my life. Boy, when I got saved, everything changed. All the spooky stuff went. All the luck went out the window. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. I didn't need to pick up the paper and see what sign I was born under. Amen. To figure out how my day was going to go. Can you say amen? This is the day the Lord has made. My God has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Amen. Amen. All that junk went, all the superstition went, and when sin came knocking on my door, I cried out to God for deliverance. And the moment I made a choice to follow Him and not give in, He came on the scene and my enemies were scattered. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Walk in the Spirit, and what happens? You won't fulfill the lust in the flesh. But if you just want to keep living without acknowledging His Lordship and the Spirit's leadership, you'll never overcome. You'll grow up in Sunday school and backslide. You'll sit in church and backslide. And if you think Satan is a good master, look at somebody who's been on both sides. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The wages of sin is still death. And the ways of the transgressor is hard. Amen. You can put it up your nose, shove it in the vein, drink it down the throat. You can have all the illicit sex that the world has to offer you. And I'm telling you, ultimately you're going to come up empty if you're not destroyed by the sin. And I've lived long enough to watch the process. At some point we got to choose Jesus over all of this junk. How many know Jesus is more important than all of this junk? The value system that authentic Christians should have is very clear. The things, Paul said, that I want, see, everything changes. The values have to change if God is going to defend you and stand up for you. If you don't value the kingdom above some flaky sin, you'll never overcome the tempter. Never. The things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung, that I may know Jesus Christ. I have never had a problem. Amen. As long as that value has been held in place. Dung has never appealed to me because of my value system. I believe a relationship with another woman that breaks my relationship with God and my wife is dung. I'm not going to give up the sweetness and purity of the trust that Pamela and I have, and the relationship I have with my Savior, and my soul's security in Him, for some sin for a few moments out here. I'm just not going to do that. You bragging, Brother Bimmer? No, I'm telling you what my values are. I'm not telling you I couldn't change values, but why would I want to? Why would I want to? Dear Lord God in heaven, there's nothing back there. There's nothing back there. There's nobody so pretty, smells so good, talks so sweet, that's worth my soul. Are you hearing me? And not just my soul, but my peace. I can lay my head down tonight, and you know something? If I don't wake up in the morning, it's okay. Can you do that? They'll tell you what road you're on. Kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. And it's something else, too. It's joy in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I used to think joy in the Holy Ghost is when God came down and went, whoa, and shook you all over. Do you know something? It's the joy of that fellowship relationship that the Holy Spirit mediates between us and Jesus Christ. He comes to make Jesus manifest to us. To make Jesus real to us. Glory to God. I will send you another comforter. You know what that is in the Greek? I'll send you another one just like me. Someone just like me. Can you say amen? He's going to come and be with you. Glory to God and manifest me to you. And there's joy in that relationship. Amen. The Bible said, whom have ye not seen? See, this joy of the Lord and this joy in the Holy Ghost is all about that relationship. Whom have ye not seen ye love with joy unspeakable and full of glory? How can you love the unseen? Because the unseen is manifest to you spiritually and you love Jesus.
Yes.
And if you don't love Jesus, church ain't going to cut it for you. Amen. Sunday school ain't going to cut it for you. Field trip with the so-called Christian kids ain't going to cut it. But my son went to a Christian school, the first Christian school when they opened the Christian school at River Hills, my son was in the first in that class and was the first graduating class from River Hills. Alan was in that class. He hung out. He grew up in church. He was a PK, preacher's kid. Grew up in church, went to Christian school. Everything's going for him spiritually. He played music with a Christian band. And you know where he got his first introduction to alcohol? Christian band. Compromising Christian band, so-called Christian band. And when he tasted it, it got him and it gripped him. I missed 4 days of work in 11 years. 4 days. And one of those days I missed, one was a cracked rib. One of those days I missed in 11 years was because my son had alcohol poisoning. And was in danger of dying. And I took him to South Florida Baptist Hospital to be treated for alcohol poisoning. That meant he went on binge drinking until he literally had so much alcohol content he put his life in jeopardy. Sunday school, Christian school, Christian group. But when that Christian group had the opportunity to come under a covering to direct them, they said, don't judge us. And my son made a choice. I remember one time they beat him half to death. I remember seeing him bloody, beat, senseless, cut and beat. I remember getting the call from South Florida Baptist Hospital that he was bleeding internally, not from a beating, but from alcohol and aspirins in huge amounts. And saying they were getting ready to go down inside and see what caused the bleeding. And he had ran out the door. And he was somewhere out in the night and I didn't know where he was. And the devil screaming to me, he's going to bleed to death and die. I remember Billy Sunday, his own statement, standing over the grave of his own son who died from acute alcoholism. And Billy Sunday crusaded against alcohol his whole life, and his son died because of alcohol. You don't get in this because your mama's a Christian, your daddy's a Christian, or because you went to church. You have to choose. I have to choose, and I'm still choosing.
Amen.
I'm choosing to be faithful to my God.
Amen.
I have to make that choice.
Amen.
And I'm still making those choices. It's not like it's a done deal. It's just that I'm still making the choices. I'm still choosing to be faithful to my wife. I choose to be faithful to her. I choose fidelity to God. I choose the kingdom over the world. I choose Christ. I choose the cross. And every time I choose the right thing, He stands up.
Amen.
And there's victory in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? My son didn't choose that. God couldn't stand up. It's not because Satan is stronger. It's because he made the wrong choice. He chose compromise. And it locked onto him. And I expect still to see him saved and totally delivered. But he's been through pain and heartache and heartbreak. Sin has not been good to my son. One time he wanted to kill himself. He was on the interstate and got to a bridge and thought it would be so easy, he said, to just cut the wheel, go off the bridge and end it all. But see, he knew something that held him back. And you know what he knew? Hitting the bottom of that bridge when life goes out of you does not end it all. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that's just the beginning of an eternity without Him. Thank God He knew you can't end it by killing yourself. The only way to end it is to surrender to Jesus. That'll end the pain. That'll end the guilt. That'll end the shame. That'll break the prison bars of habits that we can't ever break free of. But it takes total surrender, not just going to church. There's a big difference, a vast difference. God rises up in America. I'll say this in closing. I want to leave something prophetic because God was so clear with us this morning. I believe the economic shakings that are here right now is because both the church and the world, a large portion of the church, has bought into a materialistic message. And I believe God is saying, you need me more than you need money, fame, fortune, silver, gold. Elijah prayed that God shut heaven so Israel would repent, prompted by God. He said, if it brings this nation back to God, it's worth the pressure and the pain. If it brings the prodigal son home, it's worth the bad experience in the world if it brings him home. God doesn't want to use the bit and bridle. He wants people to hear the gospel, appreciate it, and come to know Him. But America, after 9/11, went right back to the same morals, same standards, preachers preaching the same stuff. We never recognized how bad we need a covering. And I honestly believe that God knew what we missed. We didn't dream that terrorists could do this to us. I believe God was up on this. I believe He knew. Don't you believe He's an omniscient God knew? Do you believe He's trying to get a message through to us that there's something wrong with our covering, that you can't keep pushing Him out of the public eye? You can't push Him out of school, colleges, campuses. You can't push Him out of some churches and have Him protect you like He always did? Let Him rise up so your enemies are scattered? I believe it began as far back as Vietnam. We lost. I'm sorry, we lost 160,000 dead. And we came home and let them overrun it. There's a point when you got to ask, is God for us? And call a nation to repentance. America's not ready yet to repent. Hello? The church isn't ready. Altars, if they have them at all, they're ornamental. Christians don't see much need for repentance. And woe be to the man that preaches it now. He's fire and brimstone and not accepted among his own ministerial peers. And yet America continues down the slippery slope to judgment. And we don't get it. We don't get it. We don't get it. Now that's the bad. Here's the good. Shakings like we're going through right now can wake people up. Everybody say shakings can wake people up. Return to the Lord. What does He do? What's He ready to do? He said, I will return to you. Let God arise. That's all we need to overcome anything and everything. Can you say amen? Because when He can stand up in our behalf, our enemies are going to be scattered. They'll melt away, the Bible said. Amen? Isn't that incredible? Will you stand tonight? I know you're tired. I am too. I've had a busy day. Got a busy one tomorrow. Hallelujah. But God is good here tonight. I'm glad to be on the King's Highway. I wouldn't trade it for any life in the world. Praise the Lord. I love Jesus Christ tonight. I don't make any bones about it. Amen. He's worth serving with everything you are and everything that you have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I used to beg for Him. I used to plead for Him. But I'm not begging anybody to follow my Savior tonight. Can you say amen? I will not bring Him down to that level. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so in love with Him. I so appreciate Him saving me and just giving me the opportunity, Sean, to share this gospel to wherever He sends it. Praise the Lord. Number three, would you, on that disc from this morning, amen. Number six.